Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie, and we're back.
We're back again. And the cold Maggie had last week was not a cold.
No, it was COVID. I had COVID.
Again?
Again?
Mm-hmm.
It's my Tuvid.
Hooray.
My Tuvix.
No, because it's not dead. Well, no. I mean, I guess it is, but...
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I think technically I'm still testing positive for it, but I feel not fine, but about as fine as you feel when you're 40 and out of shape.
Mm-hmm. And recovering from COVID. Yeah.
I feel happy.
I'm just kind of sad most of the time.
I don't want to go on the car.
Get on the car. You'll love it.
Mm-hmm. Another week of couple of things happening. Not much.
Yeah, it sure was a couple of things that happened. So I was talking about this right before we started recording. I keep waiting for this to get bad and stupid, and what it mostly is bad and boring.
The thing, I know what they're setting up, so it feels bad to me already, but it's not yet. It's just kind of like, seriously, we're on what, 5 or 6 now?
Yeah.
Of the season, and
we're
it feels
real into it now, and I'm just like, I don't want to have a fucking boring ass dirt adventure with like,
yeah. Well, this is episode 6 of the season, and it feels like it should be 2 or 3. Like,
yeah,
we should have half as many episodes. There's just not much. And again, I like the character stuff. I like checking in and seeing how people are getting along. And there's a quiet scene near the end of the episode where Paul and Hugh are just in bed talking.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's good. I like, you need to show these guys are happy sometimes, because mostly you show them bickering. And like, if you're making a big deal out of representation in the first gay couple in Star Trek, you need to show that they're happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad, but that's not the kind of boring I'm talking about. I'm talking about the meat of the episode, which is just, it's more of a gym mat, really.
Yeah, it's just, this is very...
Well, why don't you give us a couple of sentences and...
Scavengers, which also is a very unremarkable title.
Well, scavenge this.
Oh, boy. All right. After a couple of weeks, Discovery reveals its swanky new paint job, dope floating nacelles, and promotion to NCC 1031-A. So nobody knows we're from the past. Shh, it's a secret. While the crew checks out the swank new hologram badges, programmable matter control panels, and hilarious Linus teleportation jokes, Michael gets a delivery of a spaceship full of cat. It's Book's ship, and it comes with an emergency message informing Michael that Book was investigating a possible lead on the cause of the burn, and if she's receiving this message, hey, free cat! Michael reports this to Saru, who tells her that she can't go adventuring this week because they have to do Starfleet stuff. But Michael doesn't want to do Starfleet stuff. She wants to rescue the new hotness, Book, and work on her cool science project. So she grabs her bad influence best friend, Giorgio, and they fuck off. They arrive at some Orion slave planet that sells crap, find Book and his friends, and arrange a jailbreak. I don't remember a lot of it because it was mostly very boring, unless Giorgio was insulting some stupid man. That part was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to see the appeal of Giorgio, and it's definitely when she's being mean to people who own slaves. Anyway, they all escape back to Discovery, and Michael is dramatically reprimanded and stripped of her first officer status. The only reason she's not in the brig is, well, we already put her in the brig one time. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Stamets and Adira bond over being the queerest people on the ship. Except for Gray, Adira's ghost boyfriend, who might be the queerest person I have ever met. Actually, Gray might just be Tumblr personified.
Yeah, I'm amazed that a trail of rainbow doesn't follow Gray around like Nyan Cat.
Just every time I see her, I see him, I'm just like, that is, that's queer.
Hi. Yep. And
blue hair and pronouns.
And look, I'm all for like I have mixed feelings, but I'm all for bring on more. That's good.
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm glad about that.
No. This should definitely be gayer.
Yes. So I have to point out your summary you wrote, the sentence you wrote was a planet that sells scrap, and what you read was a planet that sells crap.
I mean,
they're both accurate.
Am I wrong?
I wasn't sure if you improvised in the moment or if you misread it, but I just wanted to clarify.
It's a real crap-selling planet, you know?
Yeah, it is.
These are crappingers.
I do need to actually correct you. It is not an Orion planet. It's actually a Bajoran planet, they said.
Oh, that's right. It's just invaded by the Emerald Chain.
Mm-hmm.
And they're Emerald chaining up people so that they can get sort crap for them.
Yeah. It's, I guess I'll just get into my bad
Yeah,
thing.
Please.
You all knew I was going to say this. Anyone who's listened to the show ever knows this is one of my five things that I won't shut up about, but another grubby planet full of oppressed workers, flaming trash cans, precarious scaffolding, and everyone's faces inexplicably smeared with dirt. Star Trek, I'm begging you, there's nothing new to say in this setting. It's boring. We're all sick of seeing it. Find a new trick, please.
I get the appeal of them just being like, let's do another jailbreak episode, because that feels like easy drama, but it's so boring. It's not so boring.
It's not the plot of it. It's not the jailbreak part of it I object to. It's the set, the actual visual of it. Like, make it look different. Make it not look like a brewery you went to you know, shoot people being pushed around. It's just, it's so dull.
Well, and it's just, the setup is so the same to it. Here's a mean man. Here he is being mean to somebody. Here he is killing off a person.
Well, here's a prisoner. Important. Here's a prisoner who tried to steal some extra water, so his head exploded.
Yeah.
Which, okay, that was pretty good.
I mean, look, I always enjoy a good head explosion as much as the next person, you know, like.
Yep.
But also, like, come on. The episode does a very good job of making me want Georgiou to murder this guy, and then I don't think she does.
No, she rams a giant ship into a bunch of their facilities. Definitely a bunch of people died, but I don't know that this specific guy died.
No, I think we could definitely bring this guy back later when his scary aunt shows up.
Yeah,
the other thing.
He's going to go tattle to her.
Yeah, this episode is a lot of setting up for, the big villain's coming. We haven't seen her yet, but she's coming.
Yeah, she's the head of this, for want of a better word, mob family, and her name is Osyra. And they're outrageous Okana-ing about how great she is for several episodes before we meet her, and I've already spoiled the fact that she's not that impressive.
Yeah, I will tell you, number one, just instead of having her, like, you know, stupid lackey showing up and being like, she's great, just like maybe have her show up so that we have a new interesting person to think about. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you can, like, if you want to foreshadow a really scary villain, like, you know, we heard a bunch about the Jem'Hadar before we finally saw them.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool. And then they kept talking about the Founders and we didn't see them for a while. Mm-hmm. And like, you can do it right. And I hate to keep going to DS9 as the only good Trek, because there's plenty of other good Trek. But that's the first example that leaps to mind.
It's our favorite Trek.
Well, yeah, so far. It's possible they'll make a better one. They just haven't yet. But like, I'm trying not to just say, well, that's it. Star Trek peaked. The rest of this will be fine. Like, no, they could. I want them to do something better than that. TV will allow you to now.
Yeah,
the only thing stopping you is you.
We'd rather fuck around in a junkyard. Junkyards are cheap.
The show doesn't usually look cheap is the thing. Maybe this episode needed to be cheap, but like, for the most part, we've marveled at like, oh, here's a planet, but it doesn't look like that same shitty backlot they've been using for 30 years. It actually looks like a different place.
Yeah.
It's Vancouver with a filter. So much better.
I would have loved Vancouver with a filter. I liked Vancouver just fine, but a filter really would have.
Yeah, but then it's an alien planet.
Yeah, it really would have zhuzhed it up a little bit for me.
Yeah, you know, the trees are blue and the sky is purple. Then, whoa, hey.
That definitely would have shook up my daily SkyTrain ride.
You could have just put on some, like, colored glasses, but, you know.
I was too poor for colored glasses back then.
No, like 3D glasses, like the cardboard kind.
I could not afford 3D glasses back then.
No, but you worked in a bookstore and some magazine must have come with them. You could have just, like, snatched them.
That is true. I could have worn them like that, like the third guy in Biff's gang.
Yes, whose name was 3D.
I wonder why.
It was 3D Match, and I don't remember the other one.
Did Match always be lighting matches?
No, he had a match. He was chewing on a matchstick like you would put a toothpick in your mouth.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Biff's gang was not very good. I'm kind of glad they got left behind when the series went on.
I think Marty probably, that was Marty's mental name for them. I don't think that they called themselves that, but I don't
I'm know. Calling you 3D on account of I don't have time to remember your name.
Really? Because probably my grandfather ran with your grandfather and his Wild West gang. And like probably our families have been inextricably linked for like centuries, but okay. Mm-hmm. Inextricably.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a narrator. Getting back to what you had said about Georgiou, though, like this is, if this show had been about someone who was in Starfleet and it didn't work out and she left Starfleet to have Starfleet adjacent adventures, kind of like what Picard did for a while.
Yeah.
Like, and it was her and Book and Georgiou. Georgiou works in that setting.
I mean, this is kind of my bad thing. Like,
oh?
Like this, Michael, sweetie. Muffin, if you want to fly around space having adventures with Georgiou and Book, that is an option. Mm-hmm. You've done it for a year, and you have repeatedly told, and as you've repeatedly told us, you're different now.
Oh, yeah, as we can see in this episode, she's so different now.
And if what you want to do is be a courier with Book and help out with Starfleet in your own way, that's perfectly acceptable. No one is expecting everyone on Discovery to want to do this one job forever. I would not be at all surprised if you had other crew members quit as we get further and further into this new future that we're in. Nov quit last week.
Sorry, excuse me. It's Non. Nov is the character we made.
Last week, yeah. Like, but if you want to stay in Starfleet on Discovery as the first officer, you can't do whatever the fuck you want to do every week and just keep getting away with it. That's not how the military works. I didn't want some random dude telling me what to do every day, so I didn't join the military. You did. You're in Starfleet. The fleet part is the military. Like, I realize that the entire point of this episode is that you keep doing this, but you can't do it all the time. We're at the point in this series where Tilly is like, yeah, she keeps running away and doing stuff a lot, and maybe she should stop doing that. She's the one on your side all the time.
Yeah, Saru comes to Tilly, and Tilly's like, yeah, I think she did that Michael thing again, and I can't cover for her anymore. She probably needs to be punished.
Yeah, like, I fucking, like, Michael, I like you to death. You are a great protagonist for this series.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't. Well, you had the option to be captain. You guys talked about this.
Especially since they spent the first two episodes of the season talking about how different she was.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why did you do that if she's not? I get it if it's meant to be dramatic irony and she's not that. But
it
I don't think that's what
like
they're
that,
doing.
Though. No. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a self-aware thing where, like, we know she's not like that, but she thinks she is.
Yeah.
No, it's not that.
It just, it's so, like, you can't. Dude, nope. Like, you can't have a fucking, if Riker ran off every week, fucking Captain Picard would be so mad at him all the time.
The thing is, everyone on that crew did at some point. This is the ends justify the means thing. And even Admiral Vance says, well, you got us that black box, and you saved some lives, so I guess it's okay, but don't do it anymore. Here is the clearest sign that even the writers are sick of this.
Mm-hmm.
He starts reprimanding her, and he says, you know what I'm going to say next. You say it.
Yeah.
And then Michael gives the speech. And it's like the writer's saying, we've written this lecture, like some authority figure telling Michael she did something wrong 30 times now. How do we make this a little different? What if she just says it back to them?
And just like, there's no consequences to this either. Like,
no.
She's not first officer, but like, what? That's
she didn't
last,
want
like,
it.
Yeah.
She didn't want it. She said to Saru, like, and he reminds us of this in this episode, you counseled me against this in the first place. So really all he did was throw her back in the job that she preferred anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's exhausting, you know?
Yep, it is. And I like Sonequa Martin-Green. I like so much about Michael, but the way she acts as a Starfleet officer, I don't understand.
And like the more she's doing the runaway, like the running off and doing like her own thing, the more I'm like, would that be more interesting? Like, could we do that? Like a Starfleet adjacent crew that.
Well, like I say, that's what the Picard show did for the first two seasons. Like, and the second season sucked, but the first season it was like him on Rios's ship with, you know, Agnes and so forth. Like, that was all fine.
Yeah. Like, there might be something there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, it just feels like we're just in this stupid, like, we're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And every time it's like, oh, well, don't do it again. And she's like, I won't do it again, but really, I'm going to do it again.
And her reaction every time someone says anything slightly different than exactly what she wants, mm-hmm. well, obviously, we're going to do. And Saru's like, no, stop.
Like, I know you want to go save your friend. I get it.
Boyfriend.
Yes. But 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You can wait 12 hours. Like, I'm sorry that he is sorting metal. That sucks. Mm-hmm. And also his head might explode.
Yeah, his head might explode because he wants a drink of water is a little more serious than he's sorting metal.
But also he's been there for 3 weeks. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Your ship can get there instantly.
Yeah. I agree with you, but I don't know. And it, I don't know. It's annoying, but also I'm always so hesitant to criticize the character too much just because I'm overcorrecting from all those horrible racist misogynist pricks out there, you know?
That's, again, the thing. I have no problem with Sonequa Martin-Green. I love Sonequa Martin-Green. She's a great main character for this show. You know?
There's so much like great acting in this. There's so much like her and Georgiou have amazing chemistry, and then her and Book have great chemistry. Like it's fantastic. It's just the stuff that they write. Yeah. It's more the writing, really.
It really is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just like when we started Disco, I thought it was really cool that our main character wasn't going to be a captain. But now, like, we're at the point where everyone is just so desperate for her to be captain, and she can't be, and she keeps not being, and it feels like that would solve a lot of problems.
Well, spoiler, she's going to be.
I know.
You probably saw that. Like, promotional images show that. So,
well, they had to keep, like, putting her in all those, like, all the captain's posters.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you can bend that and say it's all the protagonists, but yeah, you know, like all leads of a series.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. It's exhausting.
It kind of is. You're not wrong. Also, her whole idea that only she can figure out what happened with the burn. This is a situation that these people have been living with for a while now.
Yeah.
The best scientists of 1,000 years in your future, probably a little smarter than you.
Yeah.
And not to diminish her abilities, but, well, you know, this is a situation 1,000 years in the future being pondered by minds 1,000 years more advanced than yours. Maybe shut up and let them do their jobs.
Well, it keeps feeling like she's walking into the room and going, well, as the smartest person in the room, obviously.
That kind of worked back in the 23rd century. Mm. Sometimes.
It just doesn't anymore. It comes across now as you've been waiting 1,000 years for me to get here and finally take charge of the situation.
I mean,
and that kind of sucks.
It does. But also, look, her brother's like that. Her brother's boyfriend is like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a lot of people like that.
I mean, look, that's Star Trek, baby.
Yeah. And I feel like they're not writing it this way, but I feel like there'd be some good contrast. We don't do things like that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's how everyone acted. And I mean, they did that a little bit of that in when Spock showed up in Next Gen. He's like, he called it cowboy diplomacy. Like, you can't just jump in and do things. You have to make plans first. This is all very delicate. No, I don't.
I don't have to do shit. What are you talking about?
I'm a child of Sarek. I do what the fuck I want.
Yeah.
But I say it in a way where you think I'm serious and respectful, but I'm not.
Nope.
Ugh. Michael doesn't have that, like, screen of Spock's to hide behind, like, because she just wears her emotions on her sleeve, whereas Spock sure does. Spock will do exactly the same thing, but then he'll look at you in a way where it's like, well, the teacher said it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Guess it's okay.
Spock says it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's the boss of Star Trek, like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Let's see. My good thing. Mm-hmm. So when they're on the garbage planet or trash planet, we got into
crap planet.
Right. Scrap.
That's what I said.
Yes, I know. It's crap.
Mm-hmm.
There is an Andorian there, and the deal with him was he started siding with the people trying to escape, and so they chopped off his antenna and they made him start injecting the other prisoners with their obedience devices.
Yeah.
Basically so that they would all turn against him.
And
the look of him, with his antenna chopped off, like, because it took me a minute, like, he's an Andorian, but what's wrong? Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got some beard stubble, and I don't think we've ever seen an Andorian with facial hair before.
I don't think so.
He looks great. Like, by which I mean he looks awful, like he's supposed to. Like, and overall, I like the look of Andorians in this show. Like, we saw them in the TOS era also, but we see them now too. Like, they made them this very vibrant blue, and some of that's makeup and some of it's probably sweetened in post, but like, it's impossible not to see the blue even when they're in like really, really wide shots. It's so, like, such a brilliant color that it's like, oh, there's an Andorian there.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yep.
They almost
glow.
Yeah, it's a really good, like, they've done such a good job. Like, we didn't have Andorians for a very long time because I think it was hard to do after TOS.
I expect the next gen DS9 Voyager people were like, this is a silly 60s thing, right? Blue people with antennae, we could do better than that. And then they didn't a lot of the time. But
yeah,
it definitely feels like something they weren't keen to revisit.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I fucking love Andorians.
Oh, I agree.
This dude looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. And one of the few things Enterprise did an okay job with was having some Andorians. But look, Jeffrey Combs was 90% of that. So
I mean, listen.
And Susie Plaxton was the other 10%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
But yeah, like, and I think all the classic guys that they've shown on this show have looked pretty good. Like the Orions look good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've seen some Tellarites.
I think there was like a background Tellarite in this episode running around. He might have just been a man with a beard.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And a bit of a piggy nose.
Mm-hmm, but I choose to believe he was a Tellarite.
All right. Fair enough.
Doing Tellarite shit.
Mm-hmm. Arguing.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. What was your good thing?
I like Disco's refurbish.
Exterior or interior?
Exterior. Interior is fine. I didn't notice it as much. Here's the thing I did notice.
Mm-hmm.
We can get back to my good thing in a second. Saru's office now has a bunch of plaques on the wall, and I could not stop trying to figure out what they were.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just like... Because, like, the wall isn't filled with... Like, it's not completely covered. Like, it clearly looks like a bunch of names were put down. Like, maybe there are people who died or something. I don't know, but I kept looking at them.
Hmm. I didn't notice, but...
Yeah.
I believe
it. Oh, this is what I do.
Yeah.
So, as Saru's talking... See what his office looks like.
Where's a fan or a shovel or something?
Give me something nobody cared about to get mad about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, this is what we bring.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can say, oh, red shirts get shot a lot. But like, you know, you come here for the fan commentary.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but did you know about Captain Sisko's very short shovel?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you?
Yes. Do you know why I know a lot about it?
Uh-huh. Because you hooked your star to me, baby.
Uh-huh. But, so you like the look of the ship now, huh?
I like the look of the ship. It gets real shiny. I like the detached nacelles.
I think the ship has always looked a bit odd, and I think that makes it look even dumber, but okay.
I have always liked how Disco looks. I like the rotating top. Oh, I like God, the two pieces thing.
When it goes into Spore Drive, I'm like, what is this? Is a kid playing with a Hot Wheels? What is happening right now?
I like that the back of the ship kind of looks like a Starfleet badge. I like the whole thing.
Okay.
It's got a real distinct silhouette, and
it sure does. That we can agree on that. The thing is, I've gone back and forth. I bet when we started this show, there's probably episodes of me saying I liked it. I go back and forth. It's just, it's real fucking weird looking. And honestly, how archaic it looks, compared to all the other ships now, I think is better. Like,
yeah.
I like that. But I don't understand the detached nacelles. I don't need to. I don't need to hear some nerd tell me why. It doesn't look right to me at all.
It's like, how does this work? Whatever.
What if the wheels of your car hovered like a foot away from your car? What?
I mean.
What? Why? I mean,
Al,
okay,
that would be kind of awesome is the thing, though.
I don't, okay, whatever. I liked some of the interior changes. They have cool badges now that are holo projectors and built-in tricorders and personal transporters, which is cool.
That is cool, although we did have the fucking Linus joke all episode, which got infuriating.
He just kept popping up and saying, whoops. Like,
this isn't engineering.
And the thing is, it didn't exactly bother me because they used it to deflate some tension once or twice. But I think what bothers me is that Linus is pretty much just the joke character.
Yeah, exactly. Well, his name is Linus and he's a lizard man. So
I don't think he's a lizard man.
He is. He's a lizard man.
I don't think that he is.
Well, what do you think kind of man he is?
I mean, an alien of some description, mm-hmm. but I don't know that I would say lizard. Cardassians are lizard. Gorns are lizards. He doesn't look like those. Mm. He's more of a mole man, honestly, with those big eyes.
Really? Hang on. Yeah. I got to pull this up.
He's got those big mole eyes.
I guess he does have big mole eyes, but like he feels lizardy to me.
Mm. I mean, he's got that shiny skin. I could see that.
But honestly, if anything, he looks like he's got a big-headed version of a Goomba from the Super Mario Brothers movie.
I could see that.
Walking around, doing a little dance.
Mm-hmm. I guess he's more lizardy than I, like, now that I look at a picture of him, I just always see the big eyes, and I think he's...
I mean, the big eyes are definitely moley, but, like, you know.
And he could have any one of 800 Mole Man names. Let me recite them for you now.
Hang on, I have the list right within reach.
Mm-hmm. Basically, they find it's more cost-effective.
What?
So, upgrading the ship, and they call it the A.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about this, really, but it did make me wonder, can you call the same ship a letter? Like, I thought the point was it's a new ship, which mm-hmm. is why they have the letter. Like, the Enterprise A was a new ship, not... When they refit it, they still called it the Enterprise, you know?
Yeah. I think the idea is to make it look like it's a new ship and not like a ship that time traveled here.
Did they say that in story? Like, I like that as an explanation, but is that your headcanon or did they say that?
I think that's either my headcanon or possibly someone's headcanon from Memory Alpha.
I mean, either way, it works. And I don't really care, but if something contradicts it, I don't want to think it's bad writing.
Sure.
You know, that's all. Also, all the programmable matter stuff just feels like, oh, we heard of 3D printing. That's in Star Trek now.
Yep.
Okay, fine, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I do like the new controls that sort of like latch into your hands and like...
Yeah, they become move. like a physical three-dimensional texture that you can touch. It's not just a flat touch screen. It conforms to the contours of your hand and stuff, which is...
That's neat to me.
Owashikun was like, what? Whoa, cool.
It's like, oh,
we watched her whole little journey of, this is creeping me out. Oh, wait, no, this is amazing.
This is gross. This is the coolest thing that's ever happened.
And, you know, poor Owashikun, that's her arc this season.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That 5 seconds.
Well, that and kind of looking sadly at Detmer whenever
the
show remembers Detmer is in the show.
Oh, we didn't even get a reminder of her PTSD this week.
No.
They could have filled another minute with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
We were too busy with Stamets and Adira.
That didn't bother me.
No, I like that stuff.
Like I say, all the character stuff is fine. Tilly mm-hmm. trying to wrestle Grudge was fine. Like, hey, come out from Michael's bed, please. But I could have done without the fat shaming. Tilly, mm-hmm. come on. Did you eat her? That's, come on.
I do like Grudge just crawling up over her back and out the bed, like under the bed.
That's a cat.
Yeah, exactly. But it felt very like happening in the moment, like when they were filming.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if that's the case or not, but
it could be. And the performer who plays Tilly just kind of rolled with it. Guess the cat got away from me, guys.
Okay,
Grudge. I hadn't noticed this before. Is that particular subspecies of cat whose face looks exactly like Ron Perlman?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe it's a Ron Perlman cat. They're called.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's acknowledged those. He's like, yep. They do look like me. You're right.
Felinius Ron Perlmanus.
Yeah, that's probably it.
And it's chasing a roadrunner.
Write a poem about that, Data. Thank you, I will.
There once was a cat named Ron Perlman. All right.
Oh, no. Someone taught him limericks. Probably O'Brien. Oh, gotta go.
I think you'll enjoy the humorous conclusion.
Got an appointment over on Deep Space Nine. See you later.
Gotta go. This is the reason I left that ship. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. But I was just about to tell you about the man from Nantucket.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else.
There once was an alien from Grasshole 9.
It does not go where you think. let's see. I still don't care for the Mega Man guns that people have.
Oh, yeah,
they
suck.
Yeah, not great. Like, they're cool in Mega Man, but mm-hmm. doesn't really look good in Star Trek.
I like, I was watching them just like, you guys were trying to do something new, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, like, probably tired of, there's only so many pointy, like, ray guns you can make. I get that.
I mean, this is why when we get to Picard Season 3, it's back to being ray guns.
Well.
Like, guns you can cock.
The thing is, you're on a Starfleet ship then. You can at least say Starfleet basically stuck to the same design. But every time you go to a vastly different time period or a different universe or another planet, you have to make a new gun.
Yeah. So. What about Mega Busters? No, actually, these look stupid.
Mm-hmm. We got a beat of Tilly being competent, like actually doing her job, which is good because much like Linus, you can't just have, like, Tilly's awkwardness is, like, relatable in a lot of ways, and I think she's great, but if that's all she is, if she's just nervous and flailing 100% of the time, it's like, well, then why is she here?
Yeah, so there needs to be an actual reason for her to be here, you know?
Yeah, she seems to have a better handle on the upgrades and the status quo of the new century better than most people. She was like, yeah, you need to do this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
I'll show you how if you want. I'm like, oh, right, she is smart. Good.
Well, it's like, but that and, like, I really liked her with Nerd Squad last week, you know?
Yep.
New Nerd Squad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a long-standing Starfleet tradition.
That is true, yes.
Yep.
It's just when I say Nerd Squad, I always think of Data, Geordi, and Wesley.
Mm-hmm. Wesley was like the honorary member that they put in begrudgingly because he's the captain's sometimes girlfriend's kid, but, you know.
He's the captain's boy.
Sometimes.
And also they were always trying to bring Worf in,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't want to.
I am not a nerd. And it turned out he was a bigger nerd than any of them.
He was the biggest nerd of them all.
You're just like in the four Gregs, you're Japanese culture, Greg. All the Japanese culture is Klingon culture.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Oh, we talked about Georgiou, but she had a lot of really great one-liners in this one.
Yeah, she basically spends most of this episode insulting this one dude, and I love that so much.
She also had a couple of good lines with Michael near the beginning as they're starting on their mission. Like, oh, the Tyler thing ended badly. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
I wrote down a few of these just because they were so good. The best thing is when she described Michael as falling for book like a two-year-old at the edge of a well.
So fucking good.
Oh my God. Of course.
Amazing.
Of course, that's how she thinks. Like, falling. What's the easiest metaphor for falling? Well, a small child in a well, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm evil.
You know how you're always pushing children into wells?
What do you want from me? I'm evil. But then when they escape and she runs a ship into the facility, she says, salvage this, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, come on. You Terrible guys were on a roll line. With this. Like you had five or six good lines in a row, and then you gave her that?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yep.
Also, Adira describes Stamets as the bomb.
No, I'm afraid you'll find that he is da bomb. And that is da stupid.
I mean, see, now you agree with me that people on Disco shouldn't be using so much modern slang. Like, this is what a lot of it sounds like to me.
Maybe that one
jumped out at you, but...
I'll let you in on a secret, Al. It's only slang that I personally find stupid. If it's stuff I actually say, it's fine.
There's not... I
don't like it when Star Trek swears. Well, I swear constantly, so I think it's awesome.
But they don't... Okay. Also the admiral at the end says something about a hot minute. I'm like, what? No, stop.
Well, we were talking about this before the episode. The hot minutes is actually a problem left over from the burn.
Oh yeah, all the minutes are hot now.
All the minutes got burned.
Mhm.
The seconds are just on fire.
Mhm. Let's see what else. One of the ways that Stamets starts bonding with Adira is Adira's dealing with her, they're still saying her in the show.
Yes.
But we know it's there and we're just saying there. Dead boyfriend and a ghost boyfriend. And
like from that movie Ghost.
Or that movie Ghost Dad. No, no, maybe not.
Or that movie Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. And Paul says, oh, yeah, it was like that for me when Hugh died. And it's like, okay, look, The way you killed him was stupid. You clearly weren't planning that, and you brought him back in an even stupider way to make up for that. My point is, you keep calling attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was bad. You need to leave it alone now. But you keep reminding us, oh, yeah, mushrooms brought him back to life. Like, no, we were ready to sweep that under the rug and move on with things.
Yeah.
Okay, he's back, whatever. Let's just not think about it too hard. But but you keep telling us that it happened, and it's
well,
that
guy died,
hard to do.
So.
Stop.
I don't know. If my boyfriend died, I'd probably never shut up about it either.
No, that's fine. But if you wrote something real stupid and you had to backtrack, you want people to forget about it and move on with things, you know?
Luckily, I've never written anything stupid in my life.
Well, that's true. As your writing partner of 2 decades, I can vouch for that.
Oh, this is great.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there is a good bit. Adira's ghost boyfriend says, you have to get up and do something. We have to make some new memories.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that is my inner voice since COVID started. Like,
yeah.
Can we leave this room? Maybe
please,
make a new memory, please.
Please, for the love of God, we only have so much time on this earth.
Yes.
We managed to make it through COVID. Could we go do something? Anything?
You just keep getting it.
Yeah, look.
Mm-hmm.
Why knock it if it works?
All right.
I'll just have COVID all the time.
Sure. Old COVID Maggie, that's what we call you. What else?
If there's one thing I know about me, it's I love taking medication, so.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
Anything else?
I don't think so. That might be it.
There's a bit during the jailbreak where, like, their alarm goes off, and it's like, attention, prisoners. And all I can think about is, attention, Bajoran workers.
Yep.
And then a guy yelling, you killed him.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help that some of the people running around are Bajorans.
Mm-hmm. What's the name? It's like you were saying, it's a Bajoran planet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Bajor, Major.
I didn't see any statues of Gul Dukat, though.
Well, it's been a very long time.
Okay, that's true.
The memory of him is faded into myth.
He's still on their coins, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they really didn't want to change them over to King Charles. So.
Gul Dukat on one side, one of the geese that we make canard out of on the other side.
There was, Giorgio definitely killed a bunch of people, and I'm like, every time they bring her someplace, she just, like, wrecks the, like, it's like bringing Mike Nelson along with you.
Yep.
Jesus. That whole run of sci-fi era MST episodes where Mike Nelson kept blowing up planets.
I think that's funny.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Mike, you blew up another planet.
What? I know. I'm not doing it on purpose, guys. Now let's have some plain white rice. The other thing I wanted to say is I always find Michelle Yeoh attractive, but in this particular episode, they had her, like, it was all jacked up to 11. Like, she was at peak hotness in this one. Mm-hmm.
I keep noticing her eyeshadow now, and I'm just like, God, she looks good.
She adds like 3 or 4 extra layers of it every time. Uh-huh. She's going to look like a raccoon. She's going to look like Rack-hack-hoony before we're done.
Yeah, but still amazingly hot somehow.
I know. No, like I said, from minute one, like I've found her incredibly attractive, but like just this episode, I think because they were edging her up a little more because she's supposed to be like a free trader or whatever. Like,
yeah.
But Jesus. And then Book showed up and okay, I need to lie down for a minute.
I got
to
go take a walk.
Yep. Maybe I got to wait for a minute before I take a walk. All right. Anything else?
I think that's everything. Again, just not a whole lot going on in this
episode. No, we're 6 episodes deep and it really could be 2 or 3. Like, it's just not much. I do know the next episode. I'm looking at the list now. And this is one of those unusual things because we had talked about this when we started the season and it was That Hope Is You Part 1. And then the next week wasn't Part 2. Like, what the fuck? No, the last episode of the season is Part 2, weirdly.
Yeah.
This is another thing like that. Next week's episode is called Unification 3.
I think that's a neat idea.
And it's
depend on what they do with it. But
I've seen it, and I don't remember the exact content, like the whole story, but I do remember how it connects to Unifications Part 1 and 2, the next-gen episodes. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really cool in that regard.
Cool.
Like, story itself might not be great, but the in-universe continuation is very neat.
Cool.
So, yeah. Get to see sort of the work that Spock started, like where it went, and, you know, it's great.
Well, that's awesome. All right.
So that's next week.
Hopefully something to look forward to.
Yeah, but it might be 5 minutes of that and 40 minutes of nothing. Who knows?
Well, if that's the case, you know that we'll
tell you.
We'll grip onto it like a stuffed Garfield in the back window.
Or a stuffed Bill the Cat.
Yeah.
We'll say. All right. Well, the website is postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail.com. Our Patreon is reviewing episodes of Lower Decks months and, in fact, years before everyone else gets to hear them. So
yep.
patreon.com/Algar. You can hear that. You can hear lots of other great stuff. New episode of Endeavor should be dropping sometime this week. Our Star Trek fanfic series.
Yay.
So look forward to that. And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.